May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we're well into Stampede Week, that's for sure. And I thought today, however, rather than, I'm not going to be speaking to any of the passages we read today, and I'm not going to be speaking to any of the sort of history of us settling in this nation and in the West here. But I want to speak a little bit about the Anglican Church and our Indigenous brothers and sisters. Chris did preach on National Indigenous Day, Indigenous Day of Prayer, over 3 weeks ago. And we included special prayers and collects, which were especially prepared for that Sunday. And, you know, it's kind of like Christmas. It's an important day, but it's not just one day. Christmas should be every day, right? And I think it's the same with our recognition of our sisters and brothers in the Indigenous communities. It's good to acknowledge on National Indigenous Day of Prayer, but there's a lot of learning that we can all do. Certainly a lot of learning I've been doing. And so I feel called to speak a little bit more about what is happening within the Anglican Church for our Christian Indigenous brothers and sisters and how it relates to the non-Indigenous Anglican community. I'm just going to give you a very brief couple of thumbnail high points on the history, because something we haven't talked about yet is ACIP, A-C-I-P, which is the Anglican Council of Indigenous Persons, and the Sacred Circle. In 1969, the church ended a century of running residential schools, and it also committed to a new relationship with Indigenous peoples, heeding the call for a partnership based on solidarity, equality, and mutual respect. And in 1994, and 3 years later in 1997, Indigenous Anglicans responded to a sacred call and covenanted together to work for self-determination within the church. And that new covenant was accepted by the Anglican General Synod then. In 2007, so probably, you know, a good 10 years later plus, the first national Indigenous bishop was installed at the synod that year. And in the 2010 synod, the General Synod of the Anglican Church of Canada approved the introduction of a new canon, that's our church law, that firmly established a self-determining national Indigenous ministry within the Anglican Church in Canada. And this self-determining ministry has had regular national meetings every 3 years called Sacred Circle, kind of running in parallel, if you will, to our national synod, which we just had one this year, right? It just finished last week. And at last week's synod, one of the motions that the national synod carried was to accept and endorse what the ACIP group of people brought forward, which is something they've been working on for a long time. It's called, there's two documents, the covenant and our way of life. And I'll just quote from the motions or the comments after the motions. The synod joyfully raised its hands in hearty congratulations, excited celebration and loving support to Sacred Circle and the Anglican Council of Indigenous Peoples on their recent adoption of the two documents, the Covenant and Our Way of Life, and recommit itself to continue walking with the self-determining Indigenous Church in mutual interdependence as together we build a stronger and more just Anglican Church in Canada. So our Indigenous brothers and sisters who are worshiping in their own parishes, on their own lands, aren't just little isolated communities. They are part of a larger body within an even larger body of the Anglican Church of Canada. And I'm just going to give you some information about ACIP, the Anglican Council of Indigenous Peoples. We are Indigenous Peoples of Canada who have chosen to be partners in the Worldwide Anglican Communion and the Universal Church. Our members come from the four directions, from the many First Nations who inhabit this land, even to the furthermost corners, and including the Inuit of the Arctic regions, the Métis, and others of mixed heritage. Our life with the Anglican Church is changing as we all seek to work together in partnership. We proclaim and celebrate the gospel of Jesus Christ in worship and action. But through the grace of Jesus Christ, we also affirm our traditional spirituality and our place in God's creation. We know that Christ has come to fulfill our own traditions too. We have had the residential schools which tore us from home and suppressed our traditions, our languages, our relationship with the land and the Creator, our very identities. Yet, there have been times too when the churches have been our best support in the Canadian society against those who coveted our land, who would see the death of our language and culture. We are in this together, and we will continue to journey together, guided by the Holy Spirit, seeking the healing of our relationships and ways of being who we are, both fully Christian and fully Aboriginal. I think that's really enlightening. And, you know, this is not to dismiss all of the horrible things that have happened. And I know there are many within that community who totally reject the Christian church and what it has done. But thanks be to God, there are many who have found solace and comfort in faith and growth within the Christian tradition. So here's something interesting. There is an FNV, a First Nations version of the New Testament. And it's told in the oral tradition storytelling fashion of the Indigenous people. And there is a prologue to the New Testament which beautifully captures the whole arc of the Old Testament. And I'm going to read that for you today. It's just about 10 minutes. But I think it's wonderful to hear in the language of the traditional oral storytelling fashion how what we're so familiar with in so many other ways, right, in what we hear every Sunday. I think it helps give a good perspective. Long ago, this is starting in Genesis, in the time before all days, before the beginning of all things, the Great Spirit created the spirit world above and the earth below. At that time, our Mother Earth was an empty wasteland with no form or beauty, and great darkness was over the face of the ancient deeps. The breath of the Great Spirit moved over the surface of the waters like an eagle brooding over her nest. And Creator sounded his voice, "Let light be," he said, and light was. The Great Spirit could see that light was good, so he separated the light from the darkness. Creator gifted the light with the name day, and to the darkness he gave the name night. Then night faded and morning came, the first day. In 6 days, the Great Spirit made all things seen and unseen. He made the spirit world above and the earth below. He created spirits to be his messengers and helpers. He also made the sun, moon, and stars, and all plants and animals. He made the great waters and all who swim in them, the winged ones who fly in the sky, the four-legged ones who walk on the ground, every creeping thing that crawls, all were shaped and molded by his hands. On the sixth day, Creator made the first man and woman and placed them in the garden of beauty and harmony to be caretakers of the earth. And on the seventh day, the Great Spirit rested from his work of creation, not because he was tired, but because he was finished. The Great Spirit blessed the seventh day and made it a holy day, so humankind was created to enter into his day of rest and remain in harmony with Creator and care for all of creation. But the evil snake, sometimes called accuser, a spirit being who opposes the great spirit, twisted the words of Creator. He planted a seed of doubt into the minds of the first humans. So they ate the fruit of the only tree that Creator had told them not to eat from, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And by listening to the evil snake and disobeying the maker of life, they brought death with all its bloodshed, violence, and destruction to all generations of humankind that would follow. The life of beauty and harmony was lost, and the circle of life was broken. A powerful curse came upon the ground that affected all living things. Spiritual and physical death came to all, and the hearts of human beings became broken, twisted together with good and evil. They could no longer live in harmony on the land and began to follow evil ways and hurt and kill one another. Creator revealed what would come from the curse brought about by the ancient snake, and then he made a promise to all humankind. He promised to one day send another human being, born of a woman, who would crush the head of the ancient snake and restore human beings and all of creation back to the life of beauty and harmony again. After many generations, Creator found a man he would choose to make a peace treaty with, named Father of Many Nations. Abraham, yes, good. Through this man and his descendants, Creator would bring to pass his promise. And when Father of Many Nations and his wife were too old to have children, the Great Spirit gave them a son, and they named him, He Made Us Laugh. This was Isaac. Because they laughed when Creator told them they would have a child. He Made Us Laugh had a son whom he named Heel Grabber. This would be Jacob, because he grabbed his twin brother's heel when he was being born. Remember Jacob and Esau? The Great Spirit later gave him a new name, Wrestles with Creator, because he wrestled with a spirit messenger from Creator. Wrestles with Creator had 12 sons who became 12 tribes. And after 400 years of mistreatment and slavery in the foreign nation of Black Land, Egypt, the Great Spirit set them free through Drawn from the Water, Moses, yes, who became the great lawgiver. The Great Spirit made a peace treaty with the tribes and gave them their own land of promise, ceremonies to purify them, and feasts to teach them to celebrate his goodness. He also gave them their tribal law, which was carved into tablets of stone, and a sacred tent lodge. That would be like the Ark of the Covenant, right? In the tents where they would perform their ceremonies. Creator wanted to be their only chief. But the tribes wanted a human chief so they could be like the other nations around them. Remember, Israel was ruled by judges, and Israel wanted a king like everybody else. This grieved Creator, but he gave them what they wanted. Most of these chiefs became arrogant and misrepresented the Great Spirit, but there were a few good ones. One of these chiefs was much loved one, David. He had a good heart toward Creator and the people, even though he at times also strayed from the path. Creator chose the tribes to be a light to other nations, but they failed to keep his peace treaty, broke his laws, and misrepresented him to others. He sent many prophets to turn the hearts of the tribes back to the right ways of the Great Spirit, but they did not listen, and their hearts became like stone. The tribes went to war with each other and divided into two tribal nations. One nation kept the name Wrestles with Creator, that is Israel, and the other nation took the name Give Him Honor, Judah. So now we have the separation of the people of Israel. After warning them many times, the Great Spirit finally removed his protection from them and allowed them to be conquered by the people of the village of confusion, Babylon. The tribes were taken captive and removed from their homeland. Their sacred lodge was destroyed, the temple right in Jerusalem. And their village of peace, Jerusalem, was left in ruins. Creator's heart was full of sorrow, but he did not forget his ancient promise. So he sent more holy men to tell about his plan. And the Great Spirit spoke through the prophet, lifted by Creator, Jeremiah, saying, "Behold, the time will come when I will make a new peace treaty with the northern tribes of wrestles with Creator of Israel and the southern tribes of give him honor, Judah. The peace treaty will be different from the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and walked them out of black land. They did not honor that peace treaty, so I had to turn away from them. But here is the new peace treaty I will make with them. I will plant my laws in their minds and carve them into their hearts. I will be their great spirit, and they will be my people, my sacred family." He also spoke through Creator will help us, Isaiah, saying, "Here is the one I have chosen, who does all I ask and makes my heart glad. I have made my stand with him and love him as a father loves a son. My sacred spirit will rest on him and give him a message that will right the wrongs done to all people. He will not make loud arguments on the village pathways, but will speak with humble dignity. He will not break a bruised reed. He will not snuff out a smoldering fire. He will never give up until all wrongs have been made right again. All nations will hear of his reputation and put their trust and hope in him." The prophet Creator will decide, Daniel said, "As I lay awake during the night, I was given many sacred visions. In one vision, I looked and saw what appeared to be a true human being. He was riding on the clouds of the world above and was brought into the council house of the Ancient of Days. He stood before the Ancient of Days and was gifted with great authority over all the earth, with honor that outshines the sun and with power that reaches beyond all directions. All clans, tribes, nations, and languages will honor and serve this chosen one above all others. His chiefly rule will last beyond the end of all days, for it will be a good road that can never fade away or come to a bad end." After about 70 years in captivity, a small remnant returned to their homeland and rebuilt the sacred lodge, the temple in Jerusalem. But the elders wept because it was pitiful in comparison to the original sacred lodge built by the great chief Stands in Peace, Solomon. Many generations passed. Sacred ceremonies and feasts became empty rituals that were used to try to manipulate the Great Spirit to what the spiritual leaders wanted. The ceremonies and laws were used to control people and make them afraid instead of helping them. Many spiritual leaders became even more corrupt, and they complicated and twisted the true meaning of Creator's words. So the Great Spirit became silent and sent no more holy men to speak his words for 400 years. But he did not forget his ancient promises. Through the generations that followed, many powerful nations ruled over the tribes. The most recent was the People of Iron, the Romans. This government took control of the tribes and dominated them for nearly two generations. The People of Iron forced their treaties on the tribes but did not allow some freedoms. They could practice their own spiritual ways, build gathering houses called synagogues, and maintain a sacred lodge to perform their ceremonies and make their prayers. This government also allowed them to have their own tribal chiefs. But over many years, those chiefs became corrupt and were controlled more by the ways of the People of Iron than by their ancient sacred ways. The People of Iron had taken charge of appointing their holy men and their tribal chief. The people were oppressed and feared this powerful government of the Village of Iron with its many soldiers and weapons of war. They kept praying that the Great Spirit would fulfill the age-old prophecies and send the Chosen One, whom they hoped would be a great warrior chief, to destroy the People of Iron and set them free. The right time had finally come for Creator to fulfill his ancient prophecies and send his Chosen Ones, but he would not come in the way the tribes expected. And now the stage is set for the coming of the one who will be known as Creator Sets Free, Jesus Christ. And I'll just conclude with John 3:16 from the First Nations Version. And we remember this is God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, right? The Great Spirit loves this world of human beings so deeply he gave us his Son, the only Son who fully represents him. All who trust in him and his way will not come to a bad end, but will have the life of the world to come that never fades, full of beauty and harmony. Creator did not send his Son to decide against the people of this world, but to set them free from the worthless ways of the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.